A slightly longer passage for this week's midweek podcast, Psalm 96, which may well be the psalm that we read together on Sunday too. So do find that in your Bibles, and I shall read it now. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound, and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his truth. If different Bible passages have different kinds of moods, then the mood of this one is... seems to be real excitement, overawed excitement. Sing to the Lord, we're told three times in the opening three lines. You see that there, verses 1 and 2, which is a painful thing to look at, isn't it, at a time when we're not currently singing in church. We've been listening to some great songs, and I'm sure, like me, you know the frustration of not being able to join in the singing of them. It may well be right for us not to sing at the moment, to follow the government guidance. But one of the reasons we can't let this ban on singing in church go on forever is, well, you can see it here, can't you? God commands us to sing to him, to do that. A Christian who has a voice, however tuneless it may be, and doesn't sing to him is being disobedient, just as a church that never sings together, well, same again. Isn't that a bit of a chore, though, singing? Especially for the non-musical people amongst us? Well, maybe, just maybe, one of the blessings of not being able to sing together in church at the moment is it is making some of us realise actually it's not quite the chore we used to think it was. We can't wait for that day when, I don't know, maybe it'll be Craig or Emma or Mary, whoever it is, who plays the first few notes on the keyboard, or Rachel on the violin perhaps, and we clear our throats and... off we go, we get to sing together again at last. And look at the psalm. There are so many reasons to praise him, aren't there? His salvation, verse 2. He's a God who saves and rescues his people from the trouble that they're in. He's a God of such glory. Verse 3, such extraordinary, blinding glory. He's done so many marvellous deeds. Verse 3 tells us as well, you get a sense, don't you, that this, the praise of this God, it's not something we have to work ourselves up to. It's not something we think, oh, I must do this now and switch it on. It's more something that's just meant to come out from us naturally. You imagine, think of fans on the sidelines at a football match, filling a stadium. Remember those days when they could do that too? Think what they're like as the game gets going. They don't think, oh, hang on, now's the moment we're all meant to sing. It just starts as they watch their team. Well, so like us, we're meant to praise God, and we're given reasons to do that here. We're meant to do it, notice, in the earshot of others. Do you see that there? Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations. They're meant to overhear us singing to him, to see, to realise we're worshipping him. We move on in the psalm, we're given another reason. His creation. End of verse 5, the Lord made the heavens. You go to an art gallery, if that's your kind of thing. Perhaps you go on a school trip to the National Gallery, or you pop in while you're in London and you go and look at the really big, the well-known paintings in the gallery. Do you know the one that's almost always heaving full of people? There's Van Gogh's Sunflowers. There's a Monet, really well-known paintings, and you look at them and you just almost can't stop yourself turning to the person next to you and saying, these guys were geniuses. Aren't they amazing? Well, the Lord made the heavens. Isn't that extraordinary? Doesn't he deserve to be praised for that? So, verses 7 to 9, come on, praise him, worship him, consciously ascribe to him glory and strength. Worship him in the splendour of holiness, tremble before him, actually praise him. And then as the psalm draws to a close, verses 10 to 13, we're given a couple more reasons too. His reign over all things, verse 10, the Lord reign. Say that among the nations. Implication, he's reigning over every one of them too. History may look chaotic to us. It may look like no one's in charge. No, this says, he really is working out his great plan to draw people to the Lord Jesus, to bring all things together under him. And then last reason we'll just draw out, he's going to judge, end of verse 10. He will judge the peoples with equity. It's there in verse 13 twice more. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world. Why is that such good news? Well, because of how he's going to do it. With equity, in righteousness, in truth, verse 13 says. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You find yourself in a messy situation in an organisation. Maybe it's at school. There's bullying going on in a particular class, a particular group. And that leads to retaliation and all kinds of people doing all kinds of things to one another that are hurting all sorts of people. And, well, you know the sense of relief when finally it comes out what's going on and a really wise teacher sets about the task of finding out what's going on and sorting it out. Finally! There's going to be justice, or some kind of justice at least. Well, think what it will be like on that final day when he comes, the Lord God himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus, to judge rightly. Think of all those complicated, murky, messy situations that fill up websites and the news and newspapers at the moment, where we have no idea so often what's the real truth or how to pick a way through. Well, he knows. And he's going to sort it all out. It is coming. And creation can't wait. Verses 11 and 12. Heaven's rejoicing. The earth is glad. The sea resounds. They can't wait. And then on that day, the trees of the forest will sing for joy, because they're so excited. It's finally happening. Creation can't wait. But we have to, for that final justice. But while we do, praise him. That's the message of this psalm. You done that today? You praise God this week? Taking a few moments maybe to do that? We easily forget, don't we? Well, why not use this psalm to do so? Why not perhaps take a moment to read through it again on your own and use it to praise the Lord as you do? We may well do that all together on Sunday in our service as well. And let's praise him now as we pray. I'll lead us in a prayer based on this psalm now. We praise you, Lord God, Heavenly Father. What a God you are. We praise you for your great salvation, your kindness in rescuing sinners like us. We praise you for your glory, your majesty, your love, way beyond anything we'll ever be able fully to comprehend. We praise you for your marvellous deeds through history, supremely in the Lord Jesus, in his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven to rescue us, to put things right. We praise you that you have made everything. You made the heavens. How extraordinary you must be to do that. We praise you for your reign over all things now. That history is not out of control, but under your control as you work out your great plan. to draw things together under your Son, and we praise you for your perfect judgments to come, so righteous, so just. Thank you. We praise you and pray that you would help us to keep on doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. And then a prayer for some things in our church family. Heavenly Father, we pray again for our students, conscious that some are already at university. For others, this is the week they start at university or go back. And we pray that you would keep them, and that in your mercy, that you would connect them quickly to good local churches where they can flourish and grow in their faith. We pray again that you would help and, where necessary, comfort their families as they adjust to new ways of life. We pray for Toast getting going today, for Lasers getting going either this week or next, that you would bless those groups as they look together at your word. And we pray too for wisdom as we continue to try to work out the implications of this new rule of six for church life. Thank you that our actual Sunday services can remain unchanged. But we pray that you'd give us wisdom and insight as we consider what these new rules mean for other times that we have together as church family, after the services and during the week as well. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sorry, slightly longer podcast this week than normal. I've gone a minute over. Hope you can forgive me. Don't forget, pandemic prayer meeting, I think 8:30 on Friday morning. Details in the email about this podcast. Do join that if you can. And hopefully see you on Sunday. Don't forget to book in, and the sooner you can do that, the better. See you then. Bye-bye.